I'm Carrie Gallagher, Director of Education with Connect Safely, and I'm here to talk about Safer Internet Day. On February 7th, 2017, more than 100 countries around the world will celebrate Safer Internet Day. In the U.S., the official live event will be held at the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia, hosted by Connect Safely. The event will be attended by more than 200 elementary, middle, and high school students and adults, including representatives from the world's leading technology companies, and will be streamed live to schools around the U.S. Can't make it to the event? Join the live stream. Find out how at saferinternetday.us.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. Hey, welcome back. Today I'm talking with Laura Robb, and we are focused on her book, The Reading Intervention Toolkit. Laura explains how you can use her book to help you help the kids become better readers. Enjoy.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Today I'm talking with Laura Robb. Laura is an author, teacher, coach, and speaker with more than 40 years of teaching and coaching in grades 4 through 8. She can often be found leading workshops or keynoting all over the U.S. and Canada. She has more than 25 books on literacy. She also writes for educational journals and posts on her own website, www.lrobb.com. Her books are very user-friendly. They are easy to read and to implement the ideas in your classrooms. Today we are focused on her book, The Reading Intervention Toolkit. Laura, thanks for joining me again. Say hi to everyone.
Oh, hi. I'm so glad that we're talking about this book because intervention is probably one of the most important things that teachers need to do. And for me, it starts with the classroom teacher, not the reading specialist. So we'll focus on that today.
Excellent. So let's, you know, before we start, I want to talk a little bit about the way your books are structured and written. Like I said in the intro, they're easy to use, and surely this is by design. Talk a little bit about the way you have structured your books for the classroom teacher, if you could.
Okay, well, it is totally by design. One of the first things my editor ensures is that there is the feeling that I'm talking to the teacher directly when I write, so she wants my voice to come through. But I'm really very particular about the lessons, and lessons always work beautifully in my head. So what I do is every year when I go back to teach, and this will happen this year, January, February, March, I will take sample lessons and I will try them with students, and then I send the lessons to teachers all over the country, to teachers that have maybe 2 years experience, 5 years, 10 years, to get a read on what they think about the lessons. And based on their feedback, I make adjustments. And I think that's what brings authenticity to the lessons, because they're coming from the real world, from the classroom, not from someplace in my mind where everything works perfectly. And I always find that when I'm working with students, they have a lot of excellent feedback to give me, especially if something isn't working, or I can look at their body language and know that they're certainly not enthusiastic about what we're doing now. And so that takes a lot of time, but I think it's worth it.
Oh, I think so. It's one of the things that I like when I share your books with teachers and school-based administrators, one of the things that I really like is explaining to them that this is, it's so user-friendly that you kind of read your intro and get a feel for where you're going with the book, and then you're able to look and figure out how to, you read it tonight, you can put it into your lessons and start using it tomorrow, I guess is my point.
Right. And I do make sure that I put a lot of research in, Steve, because I think that I want teachers to understand the theoretical underpinnings that really, support my practice and hopefully will support their practice. But then it has to be clear and practical, and they have to be able to implement it based on the book. They can't need an interpreter, otherwise it's not a good book.
I love that, because that's one of my biggest complaints about a lot of educational books is that you do need interpreters. You need not only that, but you need somebody to help you, go back, say, what I just read, and help you do it, and then put it back into some words that maybe you can understand. But this is not the case, and I love it, because yours is very much for the practitioner.
Right. And, it's jargon free, and I will not use any educational jargon. The best writing is simple, clear, and to the point. So, and that's what I aim for.
Well, you get there, and I love it. So thank you for writing that way. So let's get into the reading intervention kit. Is this book meant for reading specialists only, or is it for classroom teachers, no matter what the subject or content area?
Well, I think it's primarily for English language arts teachers, but certainly social studies teachers and science teachers could use it if they teach with that, with intervention in mind. And I think that the ELA teacher as part of a team can support them on that. Of course, it's for reading specialists as well. But let me give you the research. The research says that in the core classroom, which is called Tier 1, that 80% of the students can be remediated by the classroom teacher through interventions and scaffolds. That's a large percentage. It does depend on the teacher being flexible and able to differentiate instruction for the students. So we have 20% that maybe are reading 3, 4, 5 years below grade level. For example, an eighth grader reading on a second grade or first grade level would need the support of a reading specialist. However, from my point of view, I want that reading specialist to push in and work with that group in the classroom on materials they can use, because I want them to be part of that social group, and I want them to hear when it comes to sharing what other students have to say. That specialist should also have another 30 to 40 minutes a day to work with these students, not on phonics, not on worksheets, not on short text with cards and multiple choice answers, but using real books. And I think that's where we fall down, using real books to build stamina and interest and also a rich, independent reading life.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. It's a big thing, for the kids to be able to read real books, and that's what you want to be able to do. And I think that is something that maybe turns some of them off when they struggle, is that they never see themselves actually starting to read a book.
Well, in this book, I talk about a group at one point of English language learners in seventh grade that I was called in to work with. And I worked with them for half a year. They had never held a book. They were here 3 years. All they did worksheets with a paragraph. They did a cards with paragraphs. They were so excited. And I had 50 minutes, so I spent 25 minutes with guided reading, and they chose the book. I gave them choice all the time. And then we did independent reading for 25 minutes. And there was always a stack of books for them to choose from. They made huge progress. One of the little girls got so caught with reading, and she said, I read all the time. I take books out of the library now. And that's what you want.
Yes.
Because we're teaching them for life, not to pass a test.
In the beginning of Reading Intervention Toolkit, you talk about responsive teaching. Can you explain what that is?
Yes. responsive teaching is very, very important. What it means is that the teacher gets a handle on where every student in the class is and what their needs are. So to do this, one of my interventions is simply making the rounds. I never sit, and I don't want any teacher to sit at a desk while students are in the classroom. You are moving around, or you're pulling a group, or you're pulling two, and you're working with them. But you have to watch their body language. You have to look at what they're writing or not writing. And you have to listen to the conversations they have with a partner or a small group. You have 25 students in a class. You're going to have 25 unique needs. Some, of course, there will be some commonalities, but I want to look at every child as someone special, someone unique, someone that I need to connect with and I need to build trust with so I can respond to where they are on the reading spectrum.
That's awesome. And I got to go back to something you said in there, you know, that making the rounds, never sitting while the students are in the room. I think that is so important so that you do know what they're doing or not doing.
Right. Well, you'll laugh. The last 6 years before I retired, I removed the desk from my classroom, and I just had a little student desk that I could stack the stuff I needed for that class on. So there was no way I could ever sit, no matter how tempting it was. The only way I could sit was to pull up a chair and sit by a kid and work with that student. And actually, I tell teachers, the moving around is good. You don't have to go to the gym that often because you're walking all day long. Just wear comfortable shoes.
Very much so. That's some of the best advice is don't sit and wear comfortable shoes. I like that. Nice. In the opening of chapter 2, you say that two powerful ways that teachers can gradually help their students overcome these obstacles to progress in reading are by 1, differentiating reading instruction, and 2, scaffolding students' learning with targeted interventions. And what I'd like you to do is kind of explain that. But before we do that, can you take a minute to explain scaffolding for our listeners?
Right. Well, scaffolding is, another word for scaffolding is support. That different children that have specific needs. For example, if one child is having difficulty making inferences with informational text, or another child is having difficulty finding themes or main ideas, I need to come up with a lesson that has a series of possible interventions that I call scaffolds. And I like to have several, and in the book for each lesson that I present, I have a whole list of possible scaffolds, because there's no one magic way to help a child to intervene. And so you might pick a scaffold, which is kind of like a strategy that is not working. So tell the kid, this isn't working. Or sometimes the student is brave enough to say, I'm not getting it with this. But at your fingertips, you need to have 2 or 3 other possible ways of supporting that child. So, and hopefully one of them will work.
Excellent. Thank you. So let's go back to the ways teachers can help students overcome the obstacles. And because you talked about differentiating reading instruction and then scaffolding. So can you talk about that section?
Sure. This is when, you know, at the beginning, I mentioned the core curriculum. And that tier one classroom that is heterogeneous and has a range of reading levels. There are children, and if you're required to use a Basel anthology or you're required to use a book, that book will not respond to the needs of everybody in your class. The children who are reading above grade level, if that's a grade level book, will be reading at their independent level, and they're not making progress. The students I worry about are the ones that are 1, 2, 3, 4 years below grade level, because they cannot read the book that is required in the core curriculum. So we have to make an adjustment. That adjustment is not difficult. What I want teachers to do is if they're reading in their anthology, an informational text, then find informational texts, speak to your librarian, that that are at your student's instructional level at this specific group. We know from research that if the teacher reads the book aloud or puts the book on tape and has the student listen to it, the student is not reading. And when the student doesn't read instructionally and independently, they continually slide backwards. And I can give you a good example, because several years ago at my school, there was a child in second grade that was making very little progress. And the school said, well, she was young, we're not going to intervene yet. And they made excuses, and the child learned to compensate and was a really good listener. By the time I got that child in sixth grade, that child was reading more than 3 years below grade level. That is a problem that could have been resolved had we put that child in materials that she could read, understand, and contribute to the class. So what I do is I organize my reading units by genre. I could have a unit on biography, realistic fiction, science fiction, mystery, and I use my school librarian to help me, and we bring in books at different reading levels, and she helps me figure out the reading levels, and I have the children choose from different stacks. So that, to me, that's the very best way to teach, because I'm hitting it on the nose. I've got the kids instructional reading level, and that's where that child is. I'm stretching that child, moving that child forward with vocabulary, with syntax, with literary language, with text structure, with background knowledge, and I'm also encouraging that child to read independently, which is about 2 years below instruction.
Well, that's excellent. Thank you. It's part of what I hear you talking about is that you've got to be able to get a feel for where they are, and then to be able to, like, I want to use your word, stretch them and, right, and push them. And that, you know, what happens when the child kind of pushes back against that? What do you do?
Well, it depends on the age, but I usually explain why I'm doing things, and I'll re-explain it. I could give you a good example, because I'm working with a fourth grader who loves now being stretched. This child is severely dyslexic. And we start our lesson with independent reading, and she had never read silently. So she reads two or three pages silently. I read silently along with her, and we talk about it. Well, she said to me last week, so why do I have to do this easy stuff? I just want to be stretched. I want to get better fast.
Nice.
And so we had a good conversation about, this is what I want you to read on your own. When you want to be stretched, I've got to be there, or somebody's got to be there to support you and help you with words that, you know, are difficult or challenging. And the same thing with ideas. And, you know, she said, okay. I mean, I don't think she was totally convinced, but I got partial buy-in. But what I do is I give them the statistics. If you read a lot independently, easy books that you can enjoy, and you're stretching yourself with books that are, you know, a bit of a stretch above your instructional level, especially in middle school, that you can make huge progress. It's a combination of both. And what I tell you what really did it for this kid, because she was given the Fountas and Pinnell fourth grade benchmark, which she did not do well on in September, and she did beautifully on it now.
Nice, nice, very good.
So, and that gave me an opportunity to say, because we're doing these different things, you're making a lot of progress. So, yeah, it's really being honest. I'm very honest, and I tell the kids as much as I can about what research shows, and then I hope and pray that when they're given these tests and assessments that it's matching what I'm seeing when I'm working with them.
Gotcha. Well, I can imagine that a big part of being able to put up with the frustration of being stretched comes with some success. And
yes. Well, this particular child, had two goals. One was to read Bridge to Terabithia on her own, and the other was to read the first book in Harry Potter, because the others get more difficult. Well, we're going to start probably the Harry Potter in January, and we're going to save the Bridge to Terabithia for the summer.
Very nice.
And I got this child a signed copy by Katherine Patterson.
Oh, nice.
So it's going to be, and it's little touches like that, and all teachers do that, that a child remembers and colors their reading life and gives them that self-confidence. That's so important too, the feeling of, if I work hard, I can get there, you know, and so, one thing I do that I really wanted to put in at this point, at the end of every class I teach, at the end of every group I work with, or be it with a small group or a child, I start by showing them what I notice. I noticed that you could retell with lots of rich details. I noticed that you made two inferences today and you were able to explain them to me. After I do this for a couple of weeks, I look at the child and I say, tell me what you noticed today, because I want the transfer from me to the student, because I want that voice in the student's head, especially the student that's receiving intervention, that has that weak and shaky self-confidence and self-esteem. I want them to be able to notice all the things they did well, so that they begin to sense their progress, which is really very important.
That's awesome. And you can see that. If they know what they're doing, that they're doing well, then there's going to be a little sense of pride to want to do more.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's the best way to get kids to want to work harder, is for them to experience success. Everybody wants to be successful. Nobody wants, you know, like people ask me, well, wouldn't you give this child a D or an F? I said, why?
Nice.
To make them feel awful.
Right.
Let's see why the question I ask is, why did the child get a D or F? How can I help this child avoid that kind of experience in the future? That's the mindset that I want teachers to have.
I love that. That is that mindset right there. The why and the how can I help. The why are they here, and the how can I help is just awesome. That is, I think that's too often we get caught up in the concept of grades, where as opposed to actually helping the child learn.
I agree, and see, that's all part of responsive teaching, because when you ask the why and you try to think of the how, you're responding to the child. And the child, when the child does poorly, I look at it as the child is sending me a message that says, do you think you could help me a little bit? And my job is to respond. So.
Excellent. That explains it right to the heart right there. So let's go ahead and let's talk a little bit about some of the interventions, because what you talk about in chapter two is you introduce the reader to the framework for four types of interventions. And you have this, these 2 to 3 minute interventions, 5 minute interventions, 10 to 15 minute interventions, and then 30 to 40 minute interventions. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Okay. The 2 to 3 minute interventions happen when I walk around the room, and I call it making the rounds. I have a clipboard with me, and on that clipboard are sticky notes that are dated. So if a child is having trouble with practicing based on a lesson that I have just finished, I'll jot down some guidelines on the sticky note and I give it to the child. And I call that a reminder. It's a reminder of what to do if you're stuck, because you're almost there. I'm also finding children that I know that need more than those 2 or 3 minutes. And I need to do something more, but I need to schedule it. You can't just stop the class and spend 5 or 10 minutes with one child, because there'll be chaos. And if every child needs help, every child deserves help, especially when they're working after a reading lesson. So those are the notes that tell me I need to set up a 5-minute conference. Now, you know, it's funny, because I wrote this book, it came out in April, but I've already developed something else. To me, the first 5-minute conference I call an exploratory conference. My job in that 5 minutes is to try to identify the needs of this child, jot them down, and then I can prioritize them. So when do I do these 5-minute interventions? When students are reading independently, either instructional or independent reading, or writing in writing workshop. So, and I recommend that teachers start with 2, and when they're comfortable with 2, they can add a third. You usually have about 20 minutes of independent work. Some, depending on their time frame, might only have 15. Once I have that exploratory conference, I can decide, do I need to do 2 more with this child? Do I need to spend 5 minutes for 5 days? And these conferences are very focused. I have a conference form in the book that asks the teacher to think and set a priority. You have to focus that conference on one thing. So, you know, if a child is having trouble figuring out words in context, if a child is having trouble with main idea, I need to set priorities. So my priority in that situation would be the words in context, because if you don't understand the words, then you can't figure out the main idea. Vocabulary is usually very high on my list. Those are the 2 kinds of conferences that can occur in the classroom, in that core curriculum where you can repair 80% of the issues that children are having. The 10 to 15 minute intervention, the classroom teacher can do that sometimes, but it requires time outside of the classroom, especially if it's 15 minutes. So I might grab a kid who comes in on the early bus. I might arrange to have lunch with the child, work with the child, and then let the child go out and play. So we work 15 minutes and eat, and then the child goes out to play. The 30 to 40 minute intervention is the reading specialist, and sometimes the 10 to 15 minute is the reading specialist. The classroom teacher can do the 2 to 3 minute and the 5 minute. If you have a long block of time, like some lucky people have 120 minutes for reading and writing, then you could do a 10 to 15 minute. That would be the only conference you did during a independent reading or writing period, or maybe that and 1 5-minute. So what I do with all of these conferences, they're all documented, is I keep them in a 3-ring binder. In middle school, you have sections, so the dividers are each section you teach. In 4th and 5th grade, it's usually self-contained. For each class, I have students' names on about 3 sheets of paper, and I put the sticky notes there that let me know why I thought they needed a conference. And I also store all the conference forms. I look them over to make sure that my forms show progress. I can use them at IEP meetings. I use them in conferences with students to show progress with parents. Or sometimes I'll take 3 or 4 conference forms out and negotiate with a child working on something that maybe the child doesn't feel is important, but I do. And we'll have a conversation about that. The other thing with these interventions is I'm big on helping the child set a goal. Like, okay, so here's what we practiced. What do I need to do now to move to independence? Part of scaffolding is releasing the dependence. It's called gradual release of responsibility. Releasing the dependence on me, the teacher, to prop the child up and experience success and gradually move that child to independence. To do that requires you helping that child set a goal. And to me, there's 2 parts to a goal. It's the goal itself, but the most important part is we talk about how are you going to get there. You know, it's like the New Year's resolutions we're all going to be making, And then by the middle of January, they're gone because we really haven't made a plan about what we have to do to get there. So I ask the child questions like, how much time do you think you need? What are you going to read to reach your goal? Or what pieces in your writing folder are you going to use to learn how to revise for content? And so the kid gets used to that. And that also, it's like a lifetime skill, so that I want them eventually to think when something is difficult for them, okay, so I'm going to set a goal and I'm going to make this undifficult. I'm going to work on this. What do I have to do to get there? And how much time do I need to set aside? That's a major learning experience. And we leave that piece out of goal setting, but I'm very big on putting it in.
Excellent. With what you've described, how often does this happen every day in the LA teacher's classroom? Or
yes, I'm always meeting with somebody. And what I'll be doing is I'll be working on intervention in a fifth grade classroom. I do different things with different classes, but I will be the teacher and I will be meeting with children every day.
Gotcha. So, and that's actually what then I would think allows you to start. Not only do you have a feel for it, but you also can know when you're starting to push and stretch the child because you are working with them so frequently.
And sometimes we'll take two or three that have the same issue that we've worked with, you know, one-on-one, and we'll put them together and we work with them together, and then they can support each other. It's a mix, and there's no, you know, I wish I could give teachers a recipe, but I can't.
Right.
You have to keep reading professionally and get background knowledge on intervention, on teaching for strategies, knowing or ask your librarian what books are available that this child can learn from, so that you can support every child. So that teaching is a big job. And I think what's happened is with all the initiatives that we've been through, with the publishers having scripted programs like Success for All, or Basal Readers, which have snippets. Kids never get stamina with a Basal Reader because they only read a short text. You've got to read whole books in order to build stamina. So we have our job cut out for us because teachers have not been prepared as well, I don't think, in the last 10 years as they were before that, because they're looking at programs. They're not learning as much educational theory as they have. And my biggest complaint, Steve, is they are not being taught the way they need to teach the children. So they're in lecture halls with 300 people, and they're going to be in a classroom, and myself or other supervisors are going to ask them to teach collaboratively when they've never experienced collaboration,
right,
to learn to communicate effectively orally and in writing when they've never done that. They've just taken notes and taken a test, multiple choice. So, you know, I think there has to be adjustments in the education training schools so that we train for 21st century skills, which really are collaboration, communication, creativity, and critical thinking. I've added a fourth, checking facts. There were four, and I've added a fifth. But I think, you know, once we get that like alignment with the education institutions and the preparation for the classroom, I think we'll have a teacher that comes in more equipped to deal with a lot of the stuff. It's hard. You've got different kids, you've got discipline, you've got kids that are unhappy, kids that cry, and you're trying to teach.
Yeah, it is difficult, and it's something that you know, I was talking with a colleague the other day. There's no pinnacle. You don't reach the top. You're constantly learning and relearning.
I'm still around because I'm still learning. I love it. You know, at the end of a year, I'm thinking, whoa, I learned so much this year. I've changed some ideas. I've added some thoughts to things. It's like with the conferences. I now have, it's not in the book, but that exploratory conference, that first 5-minute conference to find out what's going on and really try to get a handle on how you can help the child.
Excellent. Your book gets into intervention strategies and you get into the use of checklists and so forth. And what I'd like to do is just take a second. Can we take a minute just to talk about the importance of spending time on vocabulary?
Absolutely. Look, you can't read if you don't have words. And the children who are in intervention groups are behind because they're not reading and they lack vocabulary and background knowledge, which affects their ability to read with ease and enjoy it. So I'm very, very big on building vocabulary all through the day. I don't believe in the word of the day, the word of the week. Vocabulary comes from the context of the unit, what we're reading, what we're studying. So vocabulary is extremely important. And I did a book on vocabulary.
Yes.
It's called appropriately Vocabulary is Comprehension, because it is. And we need to help these children. But, you know, we know, Steve, the best way to build your vocabulary is by reading. So that's another reason that I will use for this child I've been working with, that your vocabulary is getting better. Your word recognition is getting better because you're reading a lot. And it's volume that matters. Volume that includes easy books, stretch books.
Excellent. And thank you for going there. And one of the things I want to make sure that I also point out is that the toolkit also comes with a CD of resources. Can you tell everyone what they find there?
They'll find conference forms. They'll find the before, during, and after reading checklists. They'll find other kinds of checklists. They'll find forms that you can give to the student so that the student has guidelines after you've presented a lesson. It's all very practical, useful classroom materials.
I love it. I spent some time looking through the different resources there, and just incredible offerings to help the classroom teacher use your suggestions in the classroom. And that's what that's what I meant at the very beginning about how the way you write is you can read, start looking at your plans, put in your plans, and put it into action the next day in the classroom. And these resources are definitely a helpful tool for that.
One thing I do that I think I want the teacher to do is before I get into a lesson, I talk about what I have observed, and then I try to explain my decision process. Why did I say this group needed 30 minutes as opposed to 5 minutes? And I think that's very important to know the why. But the other thing I want teachers to know, I know we get so stuck in putting kids in a little box. There will be children who need a 30-minute intervention maybe for 1 or 2 weeks, and then they're back. They're not there forever. They're not pulled out forever. And I believe in flexibility, and I think that all of us will be dependent on somebody to help us, especially if we have no background knowledge and the information is new. But once we get there, then it changes. And I want us to not really box in any child. I want to hold out the possibility for every child of getting there, getting to grade level and above, and becoming a reader. And it won't happen, Steve, with worksheets, with cards, with drilling phonics into a middle schooler's head, because phonics does not work after second grade. Even the National Reading Panel said that. But I'll give you a strategy that I do use. When I'm working with a group or one-on-one, I show the teacher, like as if it's a stretch book, the child reads it aloud and then reads it silently. So if there's a word that the child stumbles on, I put it on an index card with the child's name. So one word, let's say a child stumbled on survive. We'll talk about it briefly because I don't want to interrupt the reading. At the end, I save a few minutes. We go back and talk about survive, but then I introduce the child to the set of words that are built on survive. So I write survivor, survival, survived, surviving. And we talk about them. That goes in a little box that the child has, a little card box, like a recipe box that people use. And the child reviews them with me at a conference or with a classmate. And they can teach each other their words, especially children that are learning disabled or dyslexic. Phonics just won't cut it. I do word study where we look at patterns, but I also teach in sets of words so that if they stumble on one, they learn 3 to 6.
Excellent. That is so awesome. The name of your book, the Reading Intervention Toolkit, is a big part about what you talk about is giving teachers more tools for their toolkit. And I think that's kind of cool. So
you hit it right on the nose. That's why I put that word in there. For the title. And I think teachers have tools and kids have tools, and we have to remember that and make sure that we put those tools to positive use. And also, look, there'll be days when your children won't make progress, but it's okay. Sometimes, we call that plateauing. They've reached a point where, and they need time, I think, to absorb. So you go back and you review things, or you switch gears and you do something else. The other thing I want teachers to know, and I talk about reteaching, is if a lesson did not work 2 times, don't use it a third. Think of another way to teach the lesson. If the kid didn't get it, they're not going to get it by you banging a hammer on their head. And so what I try to do is give reteaching lessons, and I give materials to use with them. So part of what's on the CD are reteaching lessons, texts that go with them, original texts. And then there are also copies of texts that I use throughout the book that the teacher can use.
That's so awesome, so helpful, and thank you for explaining that, because that is, you're right. That whole thing about, it didn't work once, it didn't work twice. I'll just keep trying it, because eventually it's going to work. That's not quite it, right?
No. And, little kids won't say anything, but, you get an eighth grader, and they'll just say, I'm not doing this again, and you think that's, insubordination, but it's the kids being honest, listen. He shouldn't be doing it again, or she shouldn't be doing it again. So, and we're laughing. You have to have a great sense of humor. And the most important thing I can tell teachers, because intervention is tough, it's exhausting, it's an emotional investment, is don't take it personally. It's not, the child is not making progress to personally make your life miserable. It just doesn't work that way. And so, I tend to want teachers working on intervention to be more experienced, because an experienced teacher knows that. A young teacher gets so hurt and cries. And a young teacher should not be working with the children who need, a young inexperienced teacher, rather, should not be working with children who need the best and the most sophisticated teaching, because they don't have the experience. And yet you go to a school, and who gets the best, the easiest kids? The teachers teaching 10, 15 years. And who gets the kids that everyone says are difficult? The new teacher. It needs to reverse. I'm sorry. So when I go into a school, I request always to work with the children that nobody wants to work with. And you know what? There are a lot of smart kids in that group.
Definitely. And you're so right. That so often happens, because there's kind of like this kind of like, I've paid my dues, so I get to work with the kids that are not as challenging.
Right. But actually, you pay your dues, so we're going to make life a little more challenging.
there you go. That's what life's about, right? It's like we need those challenges to make it more exciting for us. That's good stuff. So, Laura, the Reading Intervention Toolkit is an awesome, it's just awesome tool for teachers working with kids. I thank you so much for sharing today. But before we say goodbye, if someone wanted to connect further with you, where would you send them? Where can they find the Reading Intervention Toolkit?
Okay. Well, they could find it on Amazon. They could also call Shell. They could look up the 800 number. I think I have it here someplace. I do. It's 800-858-7339 extension 169. But I think that's for multiple copies. For single copies, I would go on Amazon. And teachers can contact me through my website, www.lrob.com. And Rob is with two B's. And there's a little thing called Contact Laura, and they can contact me. I will answer them quickly if I'm on the road, but when I'm home, a lot of times we'll have a conversation. I'll make a phone call.
Awesome.
I think everybody's questions that are reasonable. I can't tell them, you know, what to do with a child because I don't know that child, but I can give them some suggestions of things to try.
Excellent. And I will make sure that there are links in my show notes to where to find your book, to the Shell number, as well as to your website. And believe me, yes, she does contact you back because that's how we started talking. So everybody, you'll get a chance to talk with to Laura to find out a little bit about what might be helpful for you. So, Laura, thank you again, and I can't thank you enough. The Reading Intervention Toolkit is great for helping classroom teachers understand how to help kids achieve success in reading. Best wishes to you and take care.
Thanks. And you have a wonderful holiday and enjoy your family. And I had a great time with you. So thanks. Thanks so much, Steve.
Thank you, Laura. You too. And it's great talking with you. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the heart of Georgia Precinct.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? That's right. You can now find Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 on Google Play Music. Check us out.